Should we start the show?
Yeah.
It's kind of getting late.
Let's keep it tight.
Let's keep it tight. Keep it light. That's a good opener. Keep it light. Keep it tight. Three, two, one. Kevin, what's up, man? I heard you look directly at the sun, and yet you're still here.
Oh, yeah. It invigorated me.
Really?
Yeah. It lit you up? I was just sun gazing, to be honest.
Yeah.
My eyes are totally fine. Like, I don't know. What are they hiding from us? Power? Immense power?
Oh, my God. You're right into it. What are they hiding? What is the sun? What's really up there? Is that real?
I mean,
just a large flashlight.
Yeah. They did a great job covering up some of the big light.
Yeah. The Illuminati.
Yeah.
They just shining a giant flashlight. That's what I heard on YouTube.
Just kidding. I mean, I looked at it a little bit.
Yeah.
I was on my way to the park and I was looking at it and I was like, I don't even see it. And then I put the glasses on. It's like, oh, it's happening, but you just can't really see it.
Cause, yeah.
You know, it's really bright.
I mean, you could wear those glasses and just look at the sun on any given day. And
I know, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's kind of sick. Like, sure, when the moon blocks it, that's incredibly sick. But like, just on a regular day, Look at the sun.
They should make that happen more often.
They did pull it out twice in like 10 years, though.
I mean, it happened in October. There was an eclipse.
Of this year?
Yeah, I was in Arizona and light was looking real weird, and then you got those like little crescent shadows.
Yeah, but it wasn't a total eclipse.
No,
I mean, just a mini eclipse.
Yeah, just a mini eclipse.
Yeah.
I didn't see the total eclipse.
See, I did. I don't want to brag, but I went to the path of totality.
Wow, that's sweet.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking awesome. It was light out, and then it got dark out, and then it got light out again.
Yeah, but it was cloudy for you, wasn't it?
There were a couple clouds, but hey, listen, you know, when has a cloud rained on my parade? Never. But yeah, I forget when the last eclipse happened, but it was like
2017.
Okay, so there we go. It was like 17 years ago. So, or 7 years ago, not 17. I'm losing track of time in life. That was fucking 7 years ago. That feels like not that long ago.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that long ago.
The next one is until 2045, but I'm going to clip this part of the pod. And when they pull out another eclipse on us in like 7 years, I'm going to be like, what happened in 2045?
I think it happens. It's just not total. It's not in totality or whatever.
Yeah. You don't get the full eclipse.
Yeah. Eclipse rock. They rock. They're so good.
Yeah. I guess it was pretty cool. I should say it was my wife's birthday. My wife.
Yeah.
And so we took a little day off from work and went to Syracuse, New York, about four hours. Beautiful Syracuse, New York, to Beaver Lake and to be with some real eclipse heads.
Did you go, were you meeting people up there? Or?
No, just I wanted to go toward the path of totality. And it was
did you bring your crystals?
Hours. I didn't bring any crystals, but Jackie actually thought about it. She was kind of bummed that she forgot her crystals.
I was bummed last night, too. I should have at least brought one.
Yeah, I know. You should have charged those things.
I know.
But yeah, no, there's some real eclipse heads out there. They fucking ride hard.
Yeah.
And so I thought we went to some lake. It was pretty cool. There was like a big gathering. There was some music playing. There was some Carvel being served.
Oh, nice.
There's some merchandise.
Oh, they had merch?
They had merch, yeah.
Did you pick anything up?
I didn't get anything. It was a beaver with glasses on, sounded kind of sick, but it wasn't really that sick. And yeah, we didn't buy any merch, but it was cool to be around some other heads.
You know, yeah.
Some real moon heads.
Did you clap when it happened?
Yeah, there was some clapping. And yes, it was a little cloudy. So I would say it kind of went from like dusk to midnight back to dusk, which, you know, the sun's really powerful. It can light up a lot with a little bit of sliver.
The sun is pretty powerful.
Or even through the clouds. Clouds can't, you know, really do much. They block the sun a little bit, but still it felt like daylight. But just a little bit of dusky daylight, and then it went pretty dark, and then it went back. It was about a minute and a half.
Wow,
because we didn't drive all the way to like Buffalo. You could have got a couple minutes.
Yeah,
but I didn't need those. Extra
Buffalo
minutes.
Was cloudy too. So
yeah,
that's
it was
what
kind
the report.
Of,
you had to be a little
useless.
Further east.
Yeah,
apparently northern Vermont was popping off.
Really? Yeah.
I kind of wish I had skied last weekend and stayed up, and you know.
Yeah. I saw you were selling Eclipse glasses for $35 a pop.
Yeah, dude, I got my hustle grind set on, dude.
Yeah,
it's not my problem that you forgot to buy your Eclipse glasses. That you should have bought them a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
You should have bought them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like some of us, you know, who were prepared.
Yep.
I put two for 60
on the sign.
That's fucking, it's Greenpoint, dude.
Yeah.
You're charging $20 for a fucking skimpy ass salad in this neighborhood. Like, of course I'm going to price gouge on the solar eclipse glasses. A solar event that's not going to happen for another 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get $60. Mm. I was nice. People are so scared to haggle these days.
Mm, yeah.
So
yeah.
I just set the bar at 30 and then was going to work my way down.
Okay.
And I sold one pair for 20 and one pair for 15.
Wow.
You know, what would Gary Vee do? Gary Vee wouldn't just fucking hand out free glasses to a solar phenomena that people should have been prepared for.
Yeah, you ordered from Amazon about 4.5 days ago, so you should be rewarded for that. You know,
I was thinking ahead. Yeah, I mean, there were several people who came up to me
and were like, I need those glasses.
And I said, I already sold them.
I thought you were doing this as a bit.
No.
You're now telling me it was very sincere.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my problem.
I will say,
I was providing a service.
You were.
It's all about supply and command.
People are afraid to haggle. That's funny. I will say, Jackie and I did not have glasses, and we showed up at the event with all the fucking moonheads, and we were, you know, we traveled 4.5 hours, but we forgot the, you know, we didn't prioritize glasses. Luckily,
I'm gonna put you on blast because how do you not have glasses?
The people there were very kind, and you know, many people had extra glasses, and they were happy to provide them free of cost, Kevin. So,
well, that's in upstate New York.
Yeah, those people are good people.
Yeah, they're good people. This is New York City, baby.
I know, Greenpoint. You gotta.
Yeah, city never sleeps. Yeah, yeah. Neither do I. The hustle. I'm not sleeping on a $35 profit. So.
Yeah. No. I mean,
you know, listen, what I did with that money? I put it right into sports gambling. And I won.
Wow. That's called doubling up. Yeah. That's how you do it, Kevin. Shout out to the men and women who won the basketball tournaments that happened.
Yep.
I did not see any of it. So congrats to those men and women.
I was very tapped in. I was very disappointed that Caitlin Clark decided to crumble.
Yeah, she had choked.
She won good quarter and crumbled. But she had a lot on her shoulders. Like yeah, that. Yeah. South Carolina was a wagon. So.
She had to put all of women's sports on her back.
Yeah.
And so... You hate to see it.
Well, I mean, it's also kind of like LeBron carrying Zildjurnas Ilgauskas to the finals.
Yeah, Amon Shumpert.
I mean, that one was less bad, but like...
Yeah,
2007 or whatever. Pre-Miami Cavs going to the finals. Those were pretty sad teams. And, I don't know. Caitlin Clark.
Oh, so you're calling out her teammates. You're saying the teammates really...
I mean, South Carolina was a wagon. Let's start there. Yeah. They're an incredible team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... just dominating the paint.
Mm-hmm.
They were swatting everything that Iowa. Like, Iowa couldn't bring the ball into the paint, and I have no idea why they were even trying.
But. Yeah. Well, guess what, Kevin? You don't have to win a championship to have cultural impact. And so that's something I think about a lot. You know the, sort of the Fab Five, Michigan?
Yeah.
Famously? Never won the tournament.
True.
But who do you remember? You remember them. Do you remember who won that tournament that year? Who cares? No one knows. You have no one has any clue. But... you remember the Fab Five because they made an impact on basketball.
Yeah, no, she made an impact for sure.
That's what I'm saying. We'll remember Caitlin Clark. We will not remember.
But she made a negative financial impact on me this weekend. So I was a little upset.
She from what I read on the internet, was she came out hot first quarters.
Like 19. It was electric.
And but then kind of got gassed.
I guess they put the clamps on her too, kind of. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, when you're carrying a team like that, you can kind of just like...
Yep. So how about Jalen Brunson, you know, when you don't have any other star players? Josh Hart and, you know, sort of Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, you have other guys, but, like, you know that Brunson's the guy. You kind of can triple team him and, you know, make the other guys beat you.
No, I'm still a Caitlin Clark fan.
Team sport, Kevin. That's it.
But I think it's great that people are getting all these hot takes out, because that just means that,
the
women's basketball game has been, you know, elevated.
17 million people watched.
Yeah.
Dude, those numbers don't lie, you know? Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
I mean, numbers could lie. I don't know. I'm not saying they're lying in that situation, but, you know, you could say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want, but I agree with you. The impact she made is forever, and you love to see it. I love those shirts that say everybody watches women's sports. Have you seen those?
No.
They're sick. Yeah, I think that's a very smart flip, because people for years have been saying nobody watches women's sports, which is untrue, but... the shirts that say everybody watches women's sports. That's whoever's idea that was.
Yeah.
Bravo.
It's great. It's great to see women's sports being, you know, thrusted forward in culture. And
yeah.
Clark, to be honest, it had me wanting to punch a hole in my TV. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's great. That's what sports do.
That's right. That's what this, that's what's great about
that's
sports.
That's what good sports are.
Yeah, you get your hopes up and then you get let down. That's the sports, baby. I will say I did see that there were a bunch of other women, and professional women, that were hating on Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they're mad because they didn't create a cultural impact and raise the game.
I don't know if that's – I don't know if I would say that. I think they're just kind of like – mm-hmm. She's about to get exposed in the league.
Okay.
I think we'll it see. Is. I think it is a pretty big jump.
Like, yeah,
I think the jump is maybe.
You can't shoot from the logo.
I mean, the jump from college to pro in basketball collectively is pretty.
She's gonna be the number one pick. I saw a mock draft, mock draft, and so.
I mean, she's good. She can shoot.
Listen, we'll see what happens. We're rooting for her.
Yeah.
But, way to go, Caitlin. Kevin, before we move on, I have to say, and I'm sorry, and a deep, deep apology. I have not watched the remaining episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I thought you were going to apologize for not answering any of my chain text messages.
You did send me a couple chains. What did you send? Oh, you sent me an earthquake one.
And then I sent an eclipse one.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Kevin. Those
not even a thumbs up.
Yeah, no. They're when I get a text that long, I just don't know how to respond. But I guess you're right. I probably should just give you a thumbs up and say thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for your service.
Thanks for your service.
I will say the eclipse, while amazing, I gotta get it out there and say I think the earthquake took some of its shine.
I think they were both cool.
In terms of natural phenomenons, like an earthquake in New York City. When's the last time that happened?
I don't know. I'm sure
longer than the eclipse.
I'm sure there was probably some sort of smaller tectonic event.
In my life, I have never felt an earthquake until that morning, the last week when we were on our morning call and we were talking through our work and our timelines and our sort of things. And there was a rumble in the studio. And then we went right back to, okay, is everyone okay? Okay, cool. Okay, well, we got this thing due Friday. No, 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 no. Like that earthquake, that was impressive.
Yeah.
The eclipse, very cool. But I saw one 7 years ago. And I was in the path of totality then. So,
wow.
Listen, I don't want to brag.
Just a total man.
I'm just, you know, the path calls me. And I'm not into some like weak, ooh, it got a little bit dark. I need the full thing. I need to go fully dark and then fully light. So that's what I need. So shout out to we'll be back in 2045, I think. Yeah. Is what they said.
Next time I'm going to bring a colander, cuz you see people, they were casting shadows with it, and it's all those little crescents, so it makes a really nice makes a really cool like shape field.
Wow.
With the shadows.
Well, yeah. 2045, Kevin.
Yeah.
I did the math of how old I'll be and I didn't like it.
Oof.
Yeah, moving on, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Still have not watched this season. But
jeez,
I know the
Louise.
Finale was, I watched 3 episodes, but I got a lot more to get through and I missed the finale. I did see a screen grab, but it was of a prison. So I do know sort of that my prediction came true, which I said after the first episode was that he's going to go towards the Seinfeld finale controversy. And mm-hmm. No spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
No. Oh, did we? I'm spoiling a little.
No,
bit.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to spoil it.
No,
for you,
don't spoil it.
No,
for
I'm
going to
spoil it.
No. Stop.
I'm going to spoil it.
Okay, Kevin.
Jerry Seinfeld's in the episode.
Oh, fuck. I mean, of course he is. That makes sense. Okay.
And they gave it, there was nice little, like.
No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
No, I mean,
Stop this.
It's obvious. We're painting the picture of like what we can. I'm not saying what the plot point, what happens, but there was a nice roundup of like Larry David moments. You know, they brought.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty similar to the Seinfeld one where
I know. I don't want to know.
They go through the moments.
No, stop this.
We should have watched.
I don't want to know. I know enough, but I don't want to know the details. Who won the eclipse, Kevin? Was it Krispy Kreme and Oreo?
No, it was me because I made $35 on fucking schmucks at the park.
Okay. We have to talk quickly about brands doing brand things, I guess. Or do we? Maybe we don't. Krispy Kreme and Oreo did a donut, which was basically an Oreo on top of a Krispy Kreme donut. Wow.
Was it called the Eclipse Cream?
Ooh, did Eclipse they do that?
Cream?
Eclipses are rare, and so is our out-of-this-world total solar eclipse donut, said David Skena, the global chief brand officer of Krispy Kreme. I don't see anything about the name change, but sure, an Oreo looks like, you know, kind of a...
I mean, you put an Oreo on top of a donut, that's
a solar eclipse.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Activation. I don't know. It's like, it's, you know, simple. It's a fastball right down the middle. You know?
I will say, I did go to Dunkin' Donuts yesterday on my drive up, and I did have a couple donuts, and I got to say, they were really good. And they were really fresh. Oh. So shout out to Dunkin'. Moon Pie. I guess this makes sense for Moon Pie because they are a moon brand. So this is a big moment for them.
And they get after it.
Oh, really? They're one of the Twitter brands?
Yeah, they're one of the OG Twitter brands. They do a good job, actually.
Okay. So I guess because the moon was involved and their name of the brand is called Moon Pie.
They have to.
They have to get involved.
They had no choice.
And so they created a solar eclipse survival kit. Did it come with glasses?
I don't believe so.
A black space-like background dotted with bright stars. Each kit contains 12 Moon Pie snacks. Great. Okay.
Probably a bit too pricey to include glasses.
Yeah, I guess they should. Oh, yeah, because glasses are so pricey.
Yeah, they are.
Only in Greenpoint. The solar eclipse of 2017 was massive for us, but we knew we had to go even bigger this time, said Toy Johnson, vice president of Samsung.
His name's Toy Johnson?
Toy Johnson. Oh, Tory Johnson.
Oh.
Sorry. Parent company, Chattanooga Bakery, Inc., parent company of Moon Co., said in a press release, it's the day the moon wins and the sun goes down, so we wanted to make something that got people as excited about the eclipse as we are.
That rocks.
So, a 12-pack? That's what you did? That's what you came up with?
No, the quote rules.
Oh, the quote, yeah.
The moon wins.
The moon wins, dominates. Good for you. Sun Chips, another brand that has...
That makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't think about... Can I say something? I'd never have thought about the actual sun when thinking about Sun Chips. Just, you know, it's a brand. I don't really think of its connection to the actual sun. Mm-hmm. But now that I see it in the solar eclipse roundup here, it makes sense. Sun Chips, total solar eclipse. So they launched a new product called Solar Eclipse 2024 Limited Edition. Quote, Sun Chips draws inspiration from the sun, so there's no better way to spotlight this snack than during this extraordinary solar eclipse, said Rashonda Boyd, vice president of marketing at Frito-Lay. With this exclusive flavor drop, fans who enter for a chance to win their own bag during the moment of totality will have the opportunity to continue celebrating the eclipse even after the rare event is over. Another thing I love about these quotes is I find out who the parent companies of all these brands are. Apparently, Frito-Lay owns Sun Chips.
They should have collabed with Moon Pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand. It seems like they just put the eclipse on the front of their packaging.
They didn't even call them eclipse chips.
They partnered with Girardi, who is regarded for bringing space down to Earth by making sometimes complicated concepts approachable and fun. Who is Girardi?
You just said it. He makes complicated concepts fun.
Kelly Girardi. Oh, there we go. We got our first name. Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E, Girardi, invites Sunship fans to experience a cosmic collaboration with a new flavor matchup, jalapeno pineapple and black bean spicy Gouda. Yum.
So you're telling me she came up with those flavors?
Yeah, she was involved.
Well, good.
Because she's an astronaut and a researcher. Sonic, a company that I have never experienced.
You've never had Sonic?
No, I guess.
Really?
It's a drive-in place where you can get burgers. They had the launch of the Blackout Slush Float, available nationwide starting March 25th. You get a free pair of Solar Eclipse glasses with every purchase.
See, that's great.
There you go. It's got a sweet cotton candy and dragon fruit, all black slushy, representing the temporary darkness from the solar eclipse, and topped with a creamy white soft serve, blue and purple galaxy themed sprinkles, the Blackout Slush Float will transport fans straight to outer space.
This sounds fire.
Yeah, I mean, listen, good for you.
You haven't been to Sonic?
Never once.
You've never experienced a Sonic
never
drink?
Never had a Sonic.
Damn, you're missing out. The Sonic drinks are crazy. They got the good ice, and their slushies they go off, and sometimes, like, when they combine the slushy ice and the ice cream, and you know, just good things. Good things happen.
Wow. Good for them.
This one actually got some play on social media. I saw at least two posts talking about it. Mm.
They partner with their own NASA astronaut, International Space Station commander, and Sonic superfan Terry Virts.
Oh, Sonic superfan.
Yeah. How to best enjoy the solar eclipse. A veteran of two space flights and three space walks who has witnessed an eclipse from the ISS. Some of his expert insights include... It's rare because it only happens every once in 2 decades. Well, thanks, Terry. We already knew that.
Couldn't have found that out.
Oh, areas outside of the path will be able to enjoy a visual spectacle and see a partial eclipse, which is when the moon only covers up a part of the sun. Thank you, Terry. From space, a total eclipse looks like a big black shadow on the ground. Even from 1,000 miles away on the ISS, the eclipse is still visible.
Cool.
Wow. Make sure to wear proper protection for your eyes when viewing the eclipse. Eclipse viewing glasses are not regular sunglasses. They're specially designed to comply with international standards and protect your eyes.
Okay.
Wow. So thank you, Terry. He said, one last quote. We'll have to wait another 20 years for the next solar eclipse. So be sure to make plans to watch this one. I'll be watching from my local Sonic in Texas. I assume that's how he sounds.
Huh.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. I hope he had a good time at Sonic in Texas.
Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. I wish I was there.
Yeah. You should have went there.
I should have went there. I mean, it probably would have been less cloudy.
You would have got free glasses. I mean, you already got free glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have got a free glasses and a milkshake.
Last eclipse brand is Jenny's, known for their ice cream. They launched a brand new collection called Punk Stargonaut, just in time for the solar eclipse and the super moon. When's the super moon, Kevin?
Not sure.
All right. Before we get into it, let's explain the collection's name. The brand explained in a statement provided to Food and Wine that the Punk Stargonaut collection is inspired by a fictional flight through the galaxy where Jenny's cosmonauts gathered all the alien fruit they could find, brought it back to Earth, and turned into a colorful cosmic ice creams. They're good enough, great enough explanation. Okay. Sorry. Let me do that.
That's again. A lot of work to... For some fucking new flavors.
The brand explained in a statement provided in Food and Wine that the Punk Stargonaut collection is inspired by the fictional flight through the galaxy where Jenny's cosmonauts gathered all the alien fruit they could find, brought it back to Earth, and turned into colorful cosmic ice creams.
That's so much.
Yeah, that they created their own story there.
I mean, to be fair, Jenny, I believe Jenny is kind of a weirdo.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, like in a cool way, I think.
Yeah.
Not in like a problematic or, you know, crazy way. But, you know, she's definitely wilding out sometimes.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Good for them. I don't know. Jenny's rocks. I would try these.
Yeah, we got a couple flavors here. Nebula Berry, which is a hot pink scoop with blue center and includes what Jenny calls soft ball-sized pieces of fruit. Tastes like tart, like a blueberry, and vibrant like a raspberry with elderflower fragrance. Sounds good. Cosmic Bloom. Purple Starborn and Super Moon are all part of the collection. I'm not going to go through each one of those flavors, but they look cool. They got a cosmic vibe to them, and I think this is my favorite of the group.
So you think Jenny's won the eclipse?
I think so. Shout out to Jenny.
I think Krispy Kreme did.
Yeah? For putting an Oreo on top of their donuts?
Yeah, I think it was it's the path of least resistance. Which is good in these cases. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna make a whole other skew. You know, you're gonna make 4 SKUs. Which, you know, respect to Jenny's. I'm sure those ice creams are great. You can kind of pull it off when you're doing ice cream. But like,
what I like about Jenny's collection is that you can continue to sell these flavors. Like, if people like these flavors, they're not sort of so solar eclipse. They don't say like April 8th, 2024 special edition. They just are cosmic flavors, and so it's kind of just a nice. Product launch.
I agree, but like you could do the same thing with the Krispy Kreme donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who doesn't want an Oreo on top of a Krispy Kreme?
It's too much.
I mean, Krispy Kreme goes fucking hard.
Too much.
I'm riding for Krispy Kreme right now.
Really?
I would do anything for a hot one.
Did you see that Krispy Kremes are going to start selling in McDonald's?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Did we talk about this at all?
No.
Here's my initial reaction. It feels like a pairing that makes sense. It feels like they should sell Krispy Kremes at McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm just worried about the integrity of the donut. Like, I just feel like the whole appeal of Krispy Kreme is they're made on site. You know? To me, at least. I feel like that's the appeal.
Yeah. But if they heat them up, though.
Yeah. What, are they going to put them in the fucking microwave?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's what they're going to do.
I like them fresh out the fryer.
Yeah. No, that's when they're the best. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. But I'm happy for these two brands. Good for them.
Sure.
Yeah. I hope they live in matrimony, you know?
Sure.
I wish them the best in their future relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I hope their donuts are good, but if you're not going to a Krispy Kreme when they got the hot and ready sign up, there's really no point of even walking in, to be honest, in my opinion.
Again, I had so many donuts yesterday because it was Jackie's birthday. So they gave us a lot of free donuts because they were fucking dope. And yeah, I may not have a donut for a while. But
that's good.
But Krispy Kreme at McDonald's is a good move. Kevin, we're going to move on because the...
you don't want to talk about the eclipse?
No. We'll see you again, Clips, in 2045. We'll still be recording.
Yeah, we'll be covering it.
For sure. And we'll look out for what the brands do then in 20 years. But I will say, please quote me when this eclipse comes back in like 8-10 years. And we're like, they pull another fast one on us. The Illuminati, you know, Joe Biden.
Yeah, when they make it happen again.
They just make it happen again. It was cool that it was Jackie's birthday. You know, kind of cool. Kind of a cool little universe sign, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Kevin, we got to move on because we got some hot goss in the CPG world.
Oh, the hottest goss.
Some spicy drama.
Very spicy.
Yeah.
A little crunchy, too.
Yeah. I got to say, first, I'm a fan of David Chang. Really enjoyed his television show on Netflix, Ugly Delicious. Kevin, you see that?
Yeah, some of it.
It's really good. I read his book, Eat a Peach. Mm-hmm. He has a memoir. Funny enough, not included in his Wikipedia page. I like some of his restaurants. I haven't eaten at that many, but Mama Fuku Noodle Bar, always wonderful. Still hits. It's been around for a long time. Have you ever been there, Kevin?
No.
Really good ramen. Really kind of like, I'll give him a little bit of credit here. I think ramen has always been popular, but I think that spot was like a hot spot that did ramen. Mm. And in New York, it was kind of a big deal at that time, early 2000s.
Cool.
Then came the Milk Bar from it. Cereal milk ice cream.
Yeah.
Shout out to Christina Tosi. So this man has done a lot for food culture, I think. But I will also say, I always thought this guy's got a little bit of dickhead in him. How do I say that in a better way? I always thought that maybe he wasn't
a good guy.
You know, he just kind of gives off that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that maybe he's the chillest guy when it comes to business. I think when it comes to sort of being a boss or being a, you know, just being a good guy as a leader. I don't know if I've always thought that that was part of his brand. I think he's known as being a little bit of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't shock me that this story broke last week that Mama Fuku, who has recently launched to retail with a whole lineup of products, including ramen and sauces, and they have pretty cool packaging. They kind of take that tape, back of house kind of vibe and sort of put that on the actual packaging itself, is sending out cease and desists to other brands that make similar chili crunches to Mama Fuku.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those brands is called Homaya, and they make a sambal chili crunch. And Mama Fuku is claiming that they own the rights to the term chili crunch. It trademarked it in 2023 with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and they license it to others. In late March, it also filed for a trademark to protect chili crunch in adjacent areas, which includes oils and seasonings, and includes the spelling with an I, and they had where they had previously owned it with an E. And so it is now going after any brand that is using either of those two spellings.
Mm.
And the internet is not really happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a problem with the concept of owning words. I get where, you know, the where it would make sense and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird to own words, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's IP, like.
Yes.
You don't really, I don't know if you can own words, and I further don't think you can own, like, food products.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like a descripting. It sounds like a word that is a descriptor of a product, but I also just don't think it's a good look for a brand like.
Explain bully ball.
How do I say this? I don't think that David Chang should be smart enough to not do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, he doesn't need it either. Like,
this man is doing pretty good, and it's like, he's certainly selling products, but he's trying to sort of squash like people from launching their own products. And I just don't understand. The man doesn't own Chili Crunch, right?
I mean, I think by the in the eyes of the law, he may.
Yeah, I guess so. But so
it's such a vague term to own, though.
That's what I'm saying. And it also, like, he is owning, like, he's not going after Flyby Jing because they call it Chili Crisp. So, like, is the difference here just the word crunch and crisp? I don't know. It just doesn't make, like, and is he really, like, benefiting from using that word crunch? Because yeah. That's what it seems like. Chili Crunch is like what he owns. And it seems like other products have other spellings or other names or other type of descriptors of this same product. So like, just leave these small independent CPG brands alone, dude.
It's almost like, I mean, I'll go out on a limb and say that he's probably doing enough negative PR to, you know, erase or even set back any of the progress that he thinks he's making by doing this, you know?
It's a really bad business decision to do this. And I think the internet will always stand up for for the independent companies because that this is not, you know, he's in some ways he is now the renegade, or sorry, he went from the sort of renegade sort of guy back in the 2000s where he was like, you know, changing the culture of the food world and sort of not, you know, it was very stuffy and very Michelin, white tablecloth, like restaurants. And he changed that. Like he brought in a sort of new sort of underdog spirit to the food world. And now he has...
He's one of them. He's ops.
He has now kind of... Yeah, now the tables are turned. And
oh, it's a good one.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't think it's... This isn't good for him. And I think he's a guy that we love to build up our heroes, and then we love to fucking take him down. Mm-hmm. And so this guy has been... You know, I think he's got a lot of stuff out. Like he's got a show on Netflix that's like a live show. Yeah. I've never watched it, but like apparently it's like Dinner Time with David Chang or something like that. And he makes like very expensive caviar dishes for Seth Rogen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've seen clips on the internet, but I've never watched any of that. But this is a guy who's got a lot to lose, I think. And I just feel like this is the wrong battle to fight.
Yeah, definitely it's the wrong battle to fight. I don't understand how, like, somebody in this, like, climate of, I mean, everyone knows everything, or not everyone knows so much now, and everything's so exposed because of the internet, like, there's no way, like, what did he think was going to happen? They would just, like, roll over and, like, just stop? Like, obviously, they're going to, like, fight and talk about it on the internet, and, read the room, dude, like. They're not siding with you. They're siding. Yeah. The public opinion's gonna side with the small independent brands.
Like, it feels quite tone deaf. Yeah. It really does. And I think it's just like you said. There's nothing really to gain here, but a lot to lose.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And I will say, for the other, you know, sort of smaller brand, Homaya, this is a big deal for them and a big story for them. It's going to bring a lot of attention to them, and so. I just don't know what Mama Fuku gets from kind of trying to play kind of like enforcer of this. It just doesn't make a lot of sense because Mama Fuku Goods, like the product company of Mama Fuku, from what I've seen is pretty active. Like it's pretty like it's definitely doing well, at least from my perspective. It seems like it's out there.
It's moving, I think.
Yeah. And I just don't understand why David Chang doesn't know better than to sort of to go up against sort of these type of businesses, and also just in general, like, just let them cook.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on, Kev, to another celebrity creator led brand, Maddie Matheson Food Company. Has launched this week with an incredible design system from Canadian branding company Wedge. So the Emmy Awards series The Bear, Kevin, you ever seen that?
Yeah, I love The Bear.
Yeah, The Bear, everyone's favorite television show, has made a star out of Maddie Matheson. That was your guy.
He made a star out of himself.
He was a star. I agree with you. But and he's been around for a long time.
He got sent into freaking nuclear orbit, dude.
That's right. How do you feel about that, Kevin? That was
I like
your
I mean,
guy.
He's handling it good. Like I like him. I like the stuff he's doing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm gonna buy his damn mac and cheese.
I once saw him. I met him once in person. We were I was in LA and I was shopping at some cool guy store and he walked
did
in.
You sup him?
I did. This was like 10 years ago. So it was a long time ago. Nice. He was on Vice at that time, I think. Nice. Right? He had a Vice show. And so, yeah, Matty Matheson has been doing this for a while, and he's a real chef. I actually went to his restaurant in Canada that rocked.
Yeah, that restaurant's
great. I forget the name of it, but it was fucking awesome.
No. Prime Seafood Palace?
Yes.
That place rocks.
It was really good. And so,
did you go to the bathroom there?
I did. Wow. Sick, yeah.
You went in the nighttime, so you didn't get to experience the skylight.
I did see the skylight, though.
But you didn't get to experience it.
Oh, sorry, man. I didn't
The light in that bathroom is freaking pristine.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so Matty Matheson is no stranger to entrepreneurship or sort of building his brand. He's been doing this for a long-ass time. And so now is kind of the perfect time to launch CPG brand called Matheson Food Company. And yeah, he's started with sauces. I believe that was the first thing I saw. It was like barbecue sauces and salad dressings. And then last week it launched mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And I feel like it brought a lot of attention to the overall company. And I think it kind of, when you see the sauces by themselves, they look pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then I think there were some salad dressings that also look cool. But I think when you see the mac and cheese with the sauces, it kind of creates more of a complete picture of this kind of pantry staple item brand.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome.
Like, I think that people are pretty, like, mac and cheese is a great SKU because people are pretty willing to try a new one.
Yeah.
You know, like Annie's is great. I mean, people love Kraft, whatever. But sure. I think people are pretty willing to be like, all right, like, I'll throw down $3 for this box of mac and cheese. And if it's fire, I'll keep buying it. Like,
sure.
I don't know. It's a good move.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Goodles was the brand that kind of came out with this sort of like new, you know, Gen Z-ish looking mac and cheese company. And I think they're doing well.
Why are they good?
I don't know. Just because they have Gal Gadot, celebrity endorser, founder. And then I think the packaging is quite fun and it's got big colors.
But isn't it like healthy or something?
Oh, it's probably marginally healthy. It's probably got like one less calorie. Well,
it's like greenwashed or whatever.
Exactly. They just put the fiber and the protein on the front and they call it healthy. But I think to me, this feels like a departure from that style. And I think it's not just in the mac and cheese category. I think it's everywhere in design. I think the goopy, trendy, colorful, Canva-looking brands are kind of on their way out. I think we're oversaturated in those kind of designed brands.
Yeah, you called the end groovy fonts at the end of 2022.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this, but I think those brands often feel well-designed but soulless. I think they kind of don't really have much to them. And I'm happy about this. I think this is a change of direction. And I think this looks awesome because it looks classic but modern. It doesn't feel trendy or 2024. It's just good design.
Yeah, it's a good job.
This is my favorite brand launch I've seen this year. I just think it's an incredible job by Wedge. And I think Wedge does some of the best design in the game right now. So shout out to them. We've praised them in the past. They've done a lot of great work over the last like five years.
They're great.
They kill it. And they've done it yet again. And they're Canadian. Matty Matheson, Canadian. This is awesome. And it's a great time to launch this because the bear is still in that sort of like the early loving years. What do you call those? Like the honeymoon phase, right? Like, as I was saying about sort of David Chang, you know, we love to build up our stars and then tear them down. So I feel like the bear, what are we between season 2 and 3 right now? I feel like the bear could not be hotter. I feel like as a show, a brand, and Matty obviously is one of the stars of that show. So it's like the perfect time to put out this this company. And it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep. There's a quote in the Fast Company article where they say they want the brand to outlive the man. And I love that. I think that's really smart. Because it says Matheson Food Company. So that he's, you know, he's quite involved and obviously quite large in
brand. It's also a callback to his early days on Vice. He had like a like that was like kind of the theme of his first show is like he like almost died or something. He had a a cocaine heart attack and got sober.
Oh yeah.
And so like his Vice show was centered around like, I almost died. Like, you know, it's my second, I can't remember what it was called, but like, I know like the intro was like him in a casket or some shit.
Really? Yeah. I remember at the time, and this is really
sad. It was his OG Vice show.
Yeah. I remember like when Vice he first came out, and I remember there was like Action Bronson and Matty Matheson, two very heavy set white guys with a lot of tattoos that both love to cook. Mm-hmm. And I remember I felt like, and this was sort of public opinion at the time, was like, there can only be one. Like, there can only be one of these guys. And I think Action Bronson won the sort of like first foray or first 5 years of that sort of in the Viceland show world. I felt like Action Bronson's show was more popular, if I recall.
Yeah.
But I feel like now Matty Matheson's in like a Hollywood like television superpower. It's like the best show on TV. It's like Emmy award winning greatness.
Hey, I'm gonna just keep it real. There's room for
two
heavier dudes
that have tattoos and like to eat.
Yeah, they're also very very different, and I love both of them dearly.
Yeah, those are your guys. I feel like those are like your favorite two people. And I will say I like them both a lot. I think Matty Matheson's style, I think at first maybe was more grating to me. I feel like Action Bronson, rapper, New Yorker, like obviously Nick fan, like I'm going to go there first. And Matty Matheson's voice is really kind of tough at sometimes. Like he's got this really high pitched voice. But of course, like everyone, I've grown to love the guy.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic.
I love both of them from the moment I laid eyes on them. And ears.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic. And this design system is perfectly feels right for Maddie too. Like it's, you know, this is a quote from them. They said, "We embrace a straightforward, practical, graphic, no fuss approach, primary colors, and vintage vernacular that runs through Maddie's cookbook, merch, and world."
Yeah, it rocks.
And they nailed it. So shout out to them. I will say, the Die Line always asks me like what my favorite design of the year was. I mean, we're only in April, but I will be hard pressed to see if there's something that comes out better than this year, unless it comes out from Center Design Studio LLC, which I can't vote for, of course. But I think this is a wonderful, wonderful job by everyone involved here. And I'm excited to see what they keep, what they come out with next.
Yeah, I'm going to try this mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Last story, Kevin, of the day. The Oat Milkers. So minor league baseball teams have been playing around with their identities for a long time, doing some kind of out of the box thinking. They even do some sort of events at their sort of games. They try to create sort of buzz. The Binghamton Mets were doing a total eclipse of the park is what they called it. And they were giving out glasses and they had a sort of they had an eclipse viewing party for the, and the game came on like right after.
Yeah, the Yankees did that, and the Cleveland Guardians did that. It would be a cool place to go see like the eclipse in totality, like at a ballpark. Like,
honestly, I thought about it.
In Cleveland, they had a really nice shot of it like on the scoreboard. And, yeah, they stopped the game and like, I don't know, it just seemed like a nice vibe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good place. I mean, part of it is like you want as little light as possible, but I imagine they just turn off all the lights in the stadium.
I mean, they're LEDs now, so they can just like
turn it all off.
Turn them off whenever they want.
Yeah. So Oatly is getting into the minor league baseball game, and so they have named a new team called the Malmo Oat Milkers, and apparently this is a real team and a actual partnership with minor league baseball where they, quote, wanted to think of something even more creative to elevate the fan experience this year by going just beyond being a sponsor. So this is a kind of move into minor league baseball sponsorships for the brand Oatly. And it's a full-blown marketing dream to sort of take over a team. They have pink jerseys. They have oat milk chugging sort of like mascots. And they just the name of the team is the actual Oat Milkers. And this is coming out. Yeah, they said, quote, "We don't know a lot about baseball, but we do know the fans love entertainment."
I mean, that's fair. That's facts. I mean, at least they admit it.
Yeah, I think this is brilliant. I mean, Oatly obviously has been known for their quirky brand voice and their sort of very like sort of self-aware advertising. I think how do you kind of keep doing that and leveling it up? I think you got to come up with out-of-the-box crazy ideas, and this is one. And I think minor league baseball has kind of been having fun with their brands for a long ass time. So,
I mean, they're some of the best brands in sports.
100%. And so I think it's about time that some big brands kind of came in and started having fun before, because I think minor league baseball, they need attendance. I think that's one thing. Like, there's, I feel like most teams are, the stadiums are not very full. They could also probably use the money, I would say, minor league baseball. I know these kind of guys, right? Like they don't, you know, traveling planes and stuff like the major league teams do. And they put out a good product. It's not bad baseball. It's just
not as good baseball.
It's just minor league baseball. Yeah. So I think this could be a big thing if it catches on with brands where they think they can like kind of do things with like local teams and sort of, instead of just doing, being one of 1,000 sponsors on the Citi Field Jumbotron, like you could literally rename a team the Mamo Oat Milkers, which, shout out to them.
Yeah. I don't know.
What do you got, Kevin?
I don't know if I love brands creeping into sports like this.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. I see. You're purist. You're purist of the game.
When the NBA added the sponsored logos to the front of the jerseys,
yeah,
wasn't a big fan of that. Didn't like when baseball did it. Well, I mean, what's next? We're going to start looking like freaking Premier League soccer in this bitch if we keep this up. And yeah, like... Sure, it's good. I mean, it's good for Oatly, and like, it's a cool thing to do. But I don't know if we need brand involvement in sports like this.
Well, they're already involved. As fans, to your point, like they have now infiltrated.
Obviously, you know, the money is, you know, it is what it is.
You know what?
Hopefully, that money is going to the players.
It's a good point, though, Kevin, when you're saying like, you know, we know that this is business, right? This is sports are business. They're not doing it purely for our entertainment. Yeah. And companies are involved, and now they're sort of inching a little bit closer where every basketball team has a, you know, 3x4 patch of their, you know, sort of local sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel a little bit, when you were talking, it reminded me of the Anaheim Ducks when they came out. And that was sort of connected, sort of loosely, somewhat to the Mighty Ducks franchise.
Yeah, but that movie ruled. And it's not a brand; it's a movie.
But that movie comes from Disney, right? Like, I assume that's
yeah. But that movie rules. Like, come on, everything about that movie rocks. Like, the uniforms were cool.
Yeah, Gordon Bombay, you know, kind of a reckless young lawyer, you know, has to find his way with these
Russ Tyler
young
with
kids.
The knuckle puck. Yeah. Come on. So, Adam Banks, the cake eater.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the great movies of all time.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Kevin, is if a brand wants to do a sponsorship with a baseball team, it's got to be a fucking sick movie from the 90s.
The bar's pretty high.
It can't be an oat milk brand, even if it's a fun
I'm not one. Saying it can't be. Like, I think this is probably a good move for everybody involved. Like, you know, getting more money into the sport. Hopefully the players are getting it. Like, I'm just saying, let's, you know, tread lightly when we're, you know, pushing brands into sports. Because I don't know if adding brands to things always makes things better.
Yeah. So you're saying like you don't want the Mets to be renamed like the City Men, you know, for Citibank, you know, or something like we could find ourselves into somewhat dangerous territory.
Yeah.
When sort of expansion brands like the Vegas Athletics or whatever the fuck is coming next, all of a sudden that's sponsored by some casino or something.
Yeah. And it's like
that.
One night only. And it's like,
I don't know.
And they think they can just come in here and do it to minor league baseball because it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, I hear you. I will say also America's pastime being, you know, sort of only a Swedish brand. So it's not even, you know, an American brand. How does that make you feel, Kevin, as a, you know, sort of an American purist?
Well, because obviously I like the international influence on baseball. There's a ton of great players. It's a worldly game. Mm-hmm. But do they even play baseball there? Like, do they even play?
In Sweden? Probably not.
And if they do, they're probably trash.
Yeah, why do they need to name it the Malmo Oat Milkers? Like, why do you need to have, like, your Swedish hometown, like, included in this?
I don't know.
I guess it somewhat makes sense, but because it's the, you know, it's a Swedish team.
I wonder how much they had to pay for this.
Yeah, they're the 121st minor league baseball team. Is this an actual team?
No. Do you not understand that they're? It's going to be like a, it's going to be like a tour. So they're going to start in like.
But who plays gonna start on this team?
It's like one night only. The Binghamton Mets are going to be the Malmo Oatmilkers.
I thought this and was an actual expansion team.
The Rochester Wings or whatever the Red Hens are going to be them the next night. And then the Buffalo Wings are going to be them the following night.
Like, I hate this now. Officially, I was in and now I'm totally out.
They're not
out.
Just creating a whole team.
That's what I thought.
No, this it's like a rotating. Like they're going to. So, every minor league baseball team is going to get a chance to be the Malmo Oatmilkers.
This sucks. I officially hate that, and I'm totally out on this idea. Just rename an actual team, you cowards. You know, just like go and do this.
I think it's better. It's better than that.
For one night only, the Binghamton Mets are the Malmo Oatmilkers, and then the next night there's some other Rochester team or whatever.
Listen, if I was really into a minor league baseball team and they had one in my city, yeah, and this happened, I probably wouldn't go to the game. I'm probably like, I don't care. Make the tickets free. Like, do some other shit. I mean, hopefully they do some cool stuff. And, you know, much love to the Savannah Bananas. They're cool.
Yeah.
I enjoy their clips on social media, and I would even like to go see a game. But,
yes,
you know, let's... I'm gonna get on my fatherly pedestal right here.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we don't need to make... We need to make baseball. We've taken baseball from.
Wow.
You know, we've taken baseball leaps and bounds. We've made it faster. We've made it like, you know, more exciting. Like, we've done all these things to improve the game. We don't need to make baseball Savannah Bananas baseball. We don't need every game to not be fucking Savannah Bananas.
Wow, the Savannah Bananas are under fire. You know, shout out Kevin.
No, Savannah Bananas are great.
Yeah.
It's a great product.
I
enjoy it, but. Every single baseball game, team, league does not need to become Savannah Bananas. Savannah Bananas should be a standalone thing.
Yep.
Maybe they add like...
Chiquita Bananas it's like should the Harlem, sponsor them. That's like, what we're... If I have a banana company,
no.
I'm going straight for Savannah
Bananas. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But yeah, they... You know, good on them, but they're like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, no.
It should be an isolated
thing.
Yeah,
which it is, right? Do the Savannah Bananas, they don't play like real teams, right? It's an exhibition. Like,
no, it's just exhibitions, and it's good. But like,
you don't want more of that.
I think, you know, I think Oatly is probably like, oh, let's bring some Savannah Bananas energy
to the minor league baseball. Yeah, all of a sudden they start doing some fucking TikTok
dances.
Well,
they're not going to be like,
no,
they're not going to be doing it in game.
Okay.
Hopefully.
I have one more thought on this topic. I agree with you. I understand like what the sort of general sort of
people don't know how to bunt anymore.
What happened to the fundamentals of the game?
Nobody plays small ball.
No one plays small ball. Everyone's trying to hit big home runs.
All they do is hit home runs and strike out.
Yeah. No. What happened to fucking get a guy on first and bunt him over, get him into scoring position?
Get him on, get him over, get him in.
Come on, Kevin. What the fuck? One thing I will say about this Oatly situation here, last thing, is big missed opportunity to have some sort of funky mascot logo hat. Mm-hmm. Like the hat is just an O and an M. Like the name is obviously funny, like the Oat Milkers, but like, where's the mascot? Where's the quirky like hat? Like it's just the name is quirky, but like, come on, man. Like where's the,
they definitely missed an opportunity because there are so many iconic like minor league hats.
Yes.
And even the same concept of like one night only.
Totally.
You know, remember that hoagie hat last
year?
Yeah,
yeah, that shit.
That was one night only.
That's
but
what
that
I'm
rocked.
Saying. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, I would put a cow on the hat. There's no cows in Oatly because it's not from cows, but sure.
Or maybe it's like
somebody
milking an oat or something.
Yeah,
something.
Like, come on. Kevin and I just gave you two ideas. There should have been some sort of funky mascot hat thing because I don't think, you know, no one's going to buy an Oatmilkers jersey, but a hat maybe, and you guys kind of dropped the ball there.
Yeah, they could have did more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Whatever.
Like, yeah. The sanctity of the game, Kevin.
Yeah.
One last thing, Kevin, because I was also reminded while we were talking, the Mets were playing the Cincinnati Reds this weekend.
Yeah.
And the Mets are not great, but they did get a couple wins against
your
team.
Right, you took two or three. That's
2 or 3. While I was watching about 40 seconds of the game this weekend, I noticed that the Cincinnati Reds have fucking a crazy dope helmet. It's like all matte and has this extruded C.
Oh,
like
the coming City Connects.
Out. And yeah, and it's got this new C logo, which is not the one you're wearing on your hat, but it's some sort of like
City Connectors.
Blazers inspired kind of C situation. And it looked crazy. It looked really cool.
No, they wear those on Friday nights. They debuted them last year, kind of around the time when Ellie De La Cruz came up.
Okay.
And Friday Night Baseball in Cincinnati is like a, you know, it's kind big of a big deal now. And they always do like, they usually do like fireworks after the game. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Friday nights down at the ballpark is, you know, pretty freaking lit.
Yeah, get your ass over there. It was on Apple TV Plus, so I had to go check it out. And so Ellie De La Cruz could not get the guys in.
Oh my God.
Guys in scoring position.
Yeah, you know, you think you got Ellie De La Cruz, bottom of the seventh, bases loaded, two outs. Listen, he could fucking do something.
Listen, that's the only play I saw. That's the only like 10 minutes I saw. Was like, oh, got bases loaded, Mets up by one, Ellie De La Cruz at the plate, and he fucking struck out. But my big takeaway was, that's a pretty sick logo you guys got there. And the hat, like the helmet, it had. It wasn't just like a matte helmet, which I've seen before, but it was almost as like the logo was extruded from the sort of helmet itself, and that I'd never seen before.
Yeah,
that looked pretty
sick.
They
go pretty hard. LA De La Cruz hit an inside the park home run last night.
He's a fucking.
And it was awesome.
He's amazing. I mean, he's incredible.
And he's made it a point this year to do his post game interviews in English, and which is pretty cool. He's been working on it. He's been working on his craft, and. Good guy. Cool guy.
Are you familiar with this helmet I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. It's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, it's like, it feels like a new dawn in baseball with this sort of new helmet kind of technology where you can have the logo not just as a sticker, but as a sort of like.
They've been extruding those logos for a while. Yeah.
Really? Maybe
a handful of years.
Yeah. So, shout out to the Cincinnati Reds, shout out to David Chang, shout out to all of our listeners, and Maddie Matheson, Kevin, shout out to the moon and the sun.
The moon won,
but the real winner, Earthquake, because that shit was fucking dope. Kevin, what are you going to do with your big earnings from the basketball weekend and your extra glasses, or your sort of...
Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. All right. See you guys next week. Peace. With the tears because a baby's life has been revoked. The bond is broke, got so choke up and focus on the
the close up, Mr. Wills, I can't reform. No God, like Hogan's Pogan. So don't sit back, kick back, and watch the world get bush. Rap news that's in your neighborhood is under attack. Put away the crack before the crack put you away.